Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. And can we give Jesus a praise this morning? If you're grateful and thankful for what he's done in your life, no, I said give Jesus praise today. Not the St. Kilda Saints or the Richmond Tigers, but Jesus. Come on, he's worthy. His name is higher than every other name. Jesus, he is why we're here today. He is why we're here today. I know we've got good coffee out there before the service. Maybe you didn't know that because it finishes at 9:45 or 9:50, but there is free coffee if you come before that. Get a coffee, come into pre-service prayer, which is at 9:50. But I know that's not why you're here today. You're here because of Jesus, what he's done in your life. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't know who Jesus is. Well, you're about to find out more of who he is, the plan, the purpose that he has for your life. I haven't told you to sit down yet, because I just need you to know, as Aaron said, I am so in belief that if each one of us allow not just the sermon today, but the word of God to actually be planted within our heart and within our life, that it does have the potential and the power to completely transform our life. I'm fully convinced that the kingdom of God is meant to be expressed and released here on earth. And we're in a time of now but not yet. It means that now we get to experience the beginning and the continuation of what Jesus did here on earth, but the fullness of it is not yet. But yet, today and now, we have the privilege, if our hearts open, for God to do something divine, personal, and powerful. And so I'm not quite sure what you came in expecting today, but I came in expecting God to do something powerful in every one of our lives today. And so as you take your seat, we've got our kingdom culture value before I continue today. And so we're going to check that out, and then we'll continue in the Word of God.
As we grow, the culture around us pressures us to base our significance on our achievements, our circumstances, and the opinions of others. This pressure was not foreign to Jesus. He too faced the temptation to base his identity on something other than what his Father said. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus declared, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus demonstrated to us the only sustainable foundation to build your life upon is God's word, not man's opinions. The key question we must continually ask, what does God's word say about that?
And so, dear God, this morning, as we come around your word, Father, we already know that your spoken word, Lord God, your ruah, your breath, Lord God, has already been speaking into hearts today. But God, as we come around your written word, Father, we pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to what you have, God, that we would have ears to not just hear words, but hear your word, God, and that we would be convinced and, Lord God, that we would be committed to not just hearing, Lord God, but actually applying your word into our life. And so, Father, I thank you today that your word is powerful, it's effective, Lord God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so in these moments that we have together, God, would you do what you truly can only do in our life by your word today? God, bringing life transformation, bringing encouragement, bringing revelation, bringing challenge so that we would be able to live in the fullness of what you have called us to live in and to live by. And each person that is believing that, wanting that, and expecting that in their heart today said, amen. Today, as Aaron said, we are diving really into how God's word is our foundation. It's a value of the kingdom of God. It's the opportunity for it to be reality for each and every one of us. And you can go ahead and open up the word of God. I hope you brought it today. For those that didn't, one of the scriptures will come up on the screen today. And so maybe you just need to take some notes and need to write things down so you can actually go and to continue to study the Word of God. But the main scripture that we're going to actually be going into today and the word that's going to be coming from today is in Matthew 7. So you can open up to Matthew 7, verse 24 is where we are going to begin. You all there? Everyone else is like, yeah, it's right behind you, Don. We can see it. Verse 24, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." And everyone, Jesus says, who hears these words of mine and does not do them, rather will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus tells us, as he did the disciples in this parable, that the word of God is a solid foundation. It's not just a foundation, it's the solid foundation. And he references in this parable that really it's only by the word of God that we would be able to have the greatest foundation in our life. That his word is actually what we're meant to be living by, how we're meant to be guided, and how we're meant to not just think and speak, but actually apply our decisions and our plans and our budgets and all that we do. Jesus says it's the word of God that is our solid foundation. If you forgot what we just read, I'm going to read again. Matthew 24, Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You know what we don't see in the parable is Jesus isn't saying that one person is building and the other person isn't building. He's not saying that the issue is whether someone's building or not specifically in this parable. What he's saying, the issue comes down to what a person is building upon. And this is a significant thing because I used to think that this parable was speaking about a person, and one of the people was actually a go-getter. They had purpose. They wanted to build something of significance in their life. And I thought, well, of course, the go-getter, the person that's wanting to build something, that's actually doing something, is going to have a solid foundation. And I thought the other person was rather someone who was just kind of like laissez-blah about life, not really caring, just kind of going through the motions, not really caring about building anything of significance. But God revealed to me that's not really what he's talking about, because the parable tells us that they're both building, that they're both building a house, that they're both building something. And so the reality is both of these people are actually invested and wanting to build something of significance and of value. Both are committed to building something, yet one of them is considered wise, and one of them is considered foolish. How is that? Why is that? Well, Jesus tells us it's based upon the foundation of their life. What the foundation of the house is that they're building will determine whether they're wise or whether they are foolish. Because there's only one of those foundations that's going to be able to withstand not just the rain, but the thunderstorm and the flood of life that comes. He says they're both building, they're both trying to do something of significance, but there's only one foundation here for you that you need to know when the storms of life come and when all hell is breaking loose against you. There's only one foundation that is actually going to be able to withstand the storms of life that come. And Jesus says the foundation that we have to build by is his word. See, one of the greatest obstacles in you and I who have said yes to Jesus Christ and being able to have a persevering faith that lasts the time of our life on earth is dependent upon what we're building our life upon. And one of the greatest obstacles in being able to have that persevering faith and that lasting faith is when you or I try to build our life on anything but the Word of God. He goes on in verse 26 and says, everyone who hears these words of mine, so the person's hearing Jesus' words. He's not talking about someone that maybe isn't in church or maybe has never heard of Jesus. He's saying, everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against it, and it fell down, and great was the fall of it. See, I believe in this parable, Jesus reveals to us that there will be and can be many people who are nominal Christians who maybe believe or think that they're Christian and believe or think that they're building their life upon a foundation, but the reality is that they are not. Because Jesus is speaking to disciples here. He's speaking to people that thought that they are building their life upon the Torah, the law, the religious tradition and system of this time. But Jesus goes on to say, hey, just so you know, just because you're here in this room today does not actually mean that when the storms come and all hell's breaking loose that you're going to be able to withstand the storm. It's only if you've heard my words or read the Bible and applied it into your life that when the storms come and all hell's breaking loose, that yes, the rain will come, the thunderstorms will actually come against your house, the wind will blow, and maybe you're going through something that is beating upon you. But if you're applying my words, Jesus says, then you can be assured that your life is built upon the solid foundation. See, Jesus says that hearing isn't good enough. Couple of people I'm going to chat to today. Friends, hearing is not good enough. Hearing someone speak about God did not transform my life. It was choosing to respond to accept Him into my life as my Savior and Lord. Two things we hear combined together, yet actually in themselves, the identity and the reality can be different. Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. Jesus came to redeem us from the grave as our Savior. He purchased the price so that you and I would be able to enter into eternal life. And yet, the second thing there is that He would be Lord. And so that we wouldn't just have eternal life, but actually we'd be able to experience abundant life here on earth by choosing to follow in His ways. It only comes by applying it into our life. Jesus says hearing is not good enough because if you only hear the word of God but you don't apply it into your life, there's really not going to be any lasting fruit for you. As I said last week, and we know that the power of God being released in our life, it comes by abiding in Christ, that it's prayer that fuels the power of God being released in our life. And if there's not a power, the power of God being released in our life, well, then we need to check the connection source because Jesus said, all those who abide in me will be able to bear fruit. Abiding comes by applying. Not just hearing the word of God, but applying it. I mean, look at it like this. There can be an architect who can have the most beautiful designs and blueprint put together for a house. But it doesn't much matter unless there's resources for the house and then someone actually builds it. You know what I'm saying? A chef can have the most delicious recipe in the entire world that is going to transform one taste bud by another. But it doesn't really matter unless the chef has the opportunity and actually goes and gets the ingredients for that recipe and then actually makes the meal. It's not going to do anything. Even a student can have the most sought-after teacher in the entire world at university, elementary school, wherever it might be. The most sought-after teacher in the entire world, teaching them truths that people would search all around the world to come and find about medicine or about education or about business, whatever it might be. But it doesn't really matter for the person sitting in that room with the wisest teacher in the world if they don't actually apply what the teacher is teaching. But too often, We can fall under the deception in church and in Christianity that simply by being in a room means that our life's going to be transformed. The opportunity to have a God encounter, yes, happens when we come together corporately, we're in life group, and we come together in environments like this. But the fullness of our life, the test of whether when the storms of life come and we're able to withstand it or not, is not determined by hearing a sermon or being a part of a Kingdom Culture series. It's determined by how we're living every day after, by the decisions we make, what's determining that, by the actions we take, who's guiding us in that. Jesus says, everyone who hears my words and does them is a wise builder. It's encouraging for me as well, as your pastor and as someone who teaches the word of God, to know that Jesus himself, the Savior of the world, is telling people, hey, like, I'm the Savior of the world, so my words are powerful, but they're not going to transform your life unless you apply them into your life. What does that mean? It means for every single one of us, there is authority, there's power in the Word of God. But unless it goes from being here and into us and applied by us, it's really not going to transform us from the inside out. Jesus says, everyone who applies what they hear will be considered a wise builder. You know, Satan, the enemy of our soul, would love for us to be deceived into thinking that just hearing a sermon or hearing a teaching is actually beneficial to us in the long run. He would love for us to be deceived into thinking that simply hearing a sermon or a podcast or coming to church in itself is actually going to be the lasting foundation for us. Why is that? Because he knows that there's two people, and one is building on something that's solid, and the other is building on something that seemingly is solid, but actually really isn't going to last when the rain and the flood and the storms come. He would love for you and I to be believing that we are seemingly building our life off of something that is built around a calendar, maybe, or an appointment, being at church or a life group or even a devotional place in the morning without actually applying what the Word of God says. Why is that? Well, we can see the reality of how detrimental it is in the culture around us, in our society. See, our culture around us would love for you and I to believe. We can see it through advertisements. We can see it through all sorts of different avenues. They would love for us to believe that our foundation in life, bringing contentment, satisfaction, identity, and value, should be built around our circumstances or our status or our relationships that we've got, or our privilege or our money or our education or our intellect. But how many people know that when you get a diagnosis at the hospital, it's not how much money you've got in the bank that's going to bring hope to trust despite the circumstance? How many people know that it doesn't matter how many friends you've got on Instagram, when you're all alone and it feels like you're isolated and these thoughts of thinking that life's not worth it, how many people know that someone's not going to jump through your Instagram feed and say, hey, friend, don't do it, I'm here with you? How many people know that it's not the status of someone that is actually able to withstand the storms of life when they come? A complete tragedy across the world today with Kobe Bryant, his child, and those that were in that helicopter. Status, fame, skill, and notoriety did not stop the helicopter from crashing. And my heart breaks for the families that had loss. But I just wonder, in the last couple of weeks, how many people are praying for them? How many Christians are responding to actually go and reach out and say, hey, there is someone that loves you despite what's going on. There's a person that you can build your hope in. Yes, we are in a fallen world, and no person actually is isolated from trauma and pain and circumstance. The world would love for you and I to believe that the foundation of our life, identity, and value should actually be placed upon what other people say about us or how much we can earn from our job or that we have in the bank. But friends, I need you to know today from the Father's heart that there are two people, and only one actually has the ability to withstand the storms that come. And it's the person that's not just hearing the Word of God. It's the person that is applying the Word of God into their life. I told you at the very outset, I'm absolutely convinced that if you and I were to apply God's word into our life, even when it doesn't make sense naturally, we would be able to live through circumstance, trial, and persecution that the world would say, why aren't you walking away? Because we've got a deeper revelation, hope, and truth that despite what's happening around us, there is somebody that's with us, Jesus Christ. And he paid the ultimate price. Not that we'd just be able to have our ears tickled on a Sunday, but that our life would be transformed every other day. Apply the Word of God into your life, and it will transform your life. Please hear the Father's heart today. Please let it drive you into a place of getting to know him more in the Word, getting to actually discover more of who he's called you to be, what the Word says about you, because I've come to recognize and have the revelation that my identity comes by who God says that I am, not what other people say about me. It's who God says that you are. He calls you a son and a daughter, loved, cherished, valuable. Please make the decision today that you're going to get into the Word of God, and then you're going to apply the Word of God. Because that will be the foundation that you'll be able to stand upon when all else seems to crumble and to crack and to break in your life. You know, the original audience of the day when Jesus was sharing this parable would have understood even more the reality of what he was talking about, because he's saying differences between someone who builds their life on the rock or on the sand. And in the area of Palestine, in that kind of Middle Eastern area, they would have understood that in the really hot summer months, the sand itself actually would have been really hard. And if you would have walked on the earth around that time, the sand itself at the surface would have been extremely hard. Also, many of them would have been living around or recognized around the Sea of Galilee, and about how they would have been living near water or near main areas of water. But a person also knew that even though the ground may have seemed very hard because of the heat and dry climates like that, the ground itself actually can't really absorb much of the water at all. And so when a rainfall came or a thunderstorm came, what could happen is violent streams and rivers could begin to develop, actually cascading and knocking over everything that came to be in its path. And so Jesus is saying this at the time, not just speaking about a rock and a thing of sand because he thought it was a good analogy. He's telling them, hey, you yourselves know the difference between a wise and a foolish builder, because a wise builder knows, though at this season it might seem like there's a firm foundation, you've actually got to dig a little bit deeper all the way to the bedrock below the sand. So Jesus is saying to them, hey, the difference is between someone who's willing to go a bit deeper and actually found themselves in the bedrock below the sand. And as I was reading this week and meditating upon it and praying into it, I just had this revelation that some of us are actually building our life seemingly thinking it's upon a firm foundation. See, they're both building. But one's on the sand, and we think, well, why would you build anything on sand? Like, you go down to Parkdale Beach, and it's like, I ain't building nothing on that sand. I don't even stand up in that. Have you ever tried to pull a pram on Parkdale Beach? Don't do it. You're not going to get anywhere. So we look at it from our context, and we're like, well, of course, Don, no one's going to build a house on sand. But we have to understand the image of what's happening. Jesus is saying, no, it's not a silly moment. It's two people, and one of them thinks that it's actually a firm foundation, but they haven't actually built upon the bedrock that's below the surface. And I just feel to encourage us today, don't allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking that your life's built upon a firm foundation just because you attend church, just because you've built your calendar around appointments like attending church or going to life group or serving in a team or reading the Bible. See, these things are good, but they can be seemingly a firm foundation only at the surface if we're not applying the words of God into every other area of our life. And I just really feel today that God just wants to reveal to you and to I that we need to go a bit deeper and not just read the Word of God and not just journal about the Word of God, but actually apply the Word of God into our life. Jesus gives us a principle in Matthew 7, and it's applicable to the entire Bible, but it's also specific to what he was sharing in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is basically saying and summarizing the end of that sermon. Hey, guess what? Everything I've just been teaching you has the power to transform your life, but it's only going to do so if you apply it into your life. And he's basically telling us that we need to get to a place we're not allowing ourselves to think that just because of our habits and seemingly on the surface everything's together, that our foundation is firm. But I just really feel God encouraging us today. Would you just go a little bit deeper? Would you just actually move past just seemingly building your life upon a calendar appointment where you've got your devotional time set up? Great. And every Christian, I believe, needs to prioritize a devotion with God. Just move past attending church on a Sunday or going to a life group. And I just hear the Father's heart for us today saying, would you just go a little bit deeper? Son, daughter, would you just go a little bit deeper? And when you read these words, actually begin to apply them into your life, because there's an enemy of our soul, Satan, and he wants us to be believing that we're okay. But I need to tell you today that the test of the foundation isn't when things are good. It's when the storm comes. And the storms of life that come will give us a better indication of whether we're truly applying the Word of God into our life or not, whether we've got a firm foundation or not. None of us are exempt from the storms of life. The Bible says in New Testament, in Matthew, actually 5:45, that rain falls on the just and the unjust. So none of us are isolated from the storms that come. But I just wonder if you and I would be Christians, be people who have decided in our heart that even before the storm comes, because when the storm comes, it's a little bit too late in that moment to be trying to go deeper and apply something into our life. Yes, it can drive us to seeking God more and applying something to our life, but when the storms come, they will give us an indication. Am I living by the Word of God, or have I just thought that hearing the Word of God was good enough? Friends, please. There are too many people I know in my own life that walked away from pursuing a relationship with God because they thought that seemingly going through the motions and attending church was good enough. But when something came up, they quickly recognized that their life was actually not built upon something that was solid, but something that was deceptive. And it was in those moments where they had to battle through either doubt or uncertainty or cynicism and thinking that, okay, but God says this, so why am I experiencing that? But the reality is God doesn't want us to experience the trauma and the storms of life thinking that he isn't good enough and his word's not applicable. He wants us to take this and apply this so that, even as it says in Philippians 4, when we remember the blessings and we remember the favor of God, his peace would be able to transcend, which transcends all understanding, would really be able to rest upon our minds and upon our hearts. The reality of the word of God, when we apply it into our life, has a tangible, a powerful and a supernatural impact on us, on our life. I'm a living testimony that when you choose to pursue and follow after God, you don't have to have it all together, because he does. Pursue him, apply his words, and you will be amazed at what he does in your life and what he does through you. In James, it says, be doers of the word, not merely hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgetting what he looked like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. One of the greatest obstacles is being deceived that hearing the word of God is simply good enough. But if we're going to truly live upon the foundation of God's word, recognizing that it is a solid foundation, then you and I have to move past just attending and just hearing and just reading and begin applying it into our life. I'll read again Matthew 7. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, floods came, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I firmly believe that you and I will have the opportunity to experience more of God when we choose to actually go deeper in the Word of God. And I understand that some of us maybe today are actually hearing Matthew 7 or hearing different things, and maybe you're just wondering, okay, I've never begun to apply a sermon message or a reading in the Word because I just don't know how, or no one's ever taught me. I'm not quite sure what to actually do. What are the words of Jesus? Because the reality is, if we need to apply the Word of God into our life, well, we first need to know what God's Word is for our life. That comes without saying, yeah? That comes without saying, yeah? Great. We can have a conversation. I know it's a bit deep today, but truly I believe this is in the Father's heart, that we would be able to withstand storms that come up. If we need to know the Word of God before we can apply it, well, then it means we need to get into the Word of God. And I really want to encourage you this week, make chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew your devotional reading. What's a devotional reading? It's actually planning when in the day that you're going to close the metaphorical and or physical door of life and actually open up the Bible and begin to read and begin to journal, begin to write things down and begin to pray into it. I really want to encourage you this week, whether you are familiar with Matthew chapters 5 to 7 or not, I would encourage you to make these chapters your devotional reading for your week, because I believe that as you go into it a bit deeper, we see Jesus speaking of the kingdom of God and values in it, and things that you and I get to be able to apply into our life. That's Matthew chapters 5 to 7, because these things really do have the opportunity and the potential to bring eternal transformation and impact in our life, but we have to begin to be able to know them and then begin to be able to apply them. Is that all right? Wonderful. Know the Word of God, but please, please, please apply it. The best sermon isn't the one that you laugh at. It's the one you apply. Amen. The best verse in the Bible is not just the one you memorized, but the one that you apply. Because for some people, this is seemingly just a book with ink and paper. Some people have red in it and black. Other people might just have black. And some people think it's just a book of ink and paper. But this has the power to transform your life if you would actually apply it into your life. And not just as principles and guidelines, but in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Know the Word of God, but please, please, please apply it into your life. and maybe you're wanting more guidance around how to do this practically, well, can I just tell you that One Life Orientation's next Sunday, and it's going to be fortnightly for a little while, and we're actually going to, in that one-hour orientation, go into deeper about how you can actually be resourced to be able to apply the Word of God in your life. And so if you haven't already registered for One Life Orientation, I want to encourage you to do that, whether today's your first day or today is your 365th day. One Life Orientation, we're going to go into this a little bit deeper, okay? But for the sake of today and for the sake of no one being able to walk out and say, well, I can't do anything today, Dom, because you didn't give me any resource or you didn't encourage with me anything practically on how to apply the Word of God, and because I truly want to see you grow in your relationship with God beginning today, beginning to put your life upon His solid foundation, I am right now, get out your phones, get out your notebook. If your phone's on airplane mode, that's better, so you're not distracted. Because I want to just give you something to write down. I want to tell you something that you can write down, a five-step, a tool for you to be able to engage in the Word of God and actually begin to apply it into your life. And it's really good because it's applicable. You can just relate it to your hand. And so as you're taking the note, just call it the five-step method. And I'm going to walk you through it right now. The first step, with your pinky, hear the Word of God. It's what hopefully all of you are doing right now. Unless you've got headphones in and I can't see them. Listening to the sport updates, Javier. Your pinky, hear the Word of God. Moving on to your ring finger, it's actually reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God, opening up the Bible, prioritizing daily devotion with God. And then into the middle finger, it's actually studying the Bible. It's studying the Word of God. And the connection here between reading and studying begins with journaling. And we'll go into that more in our One Life orientation. So you've got hearing, then we've got, and then studying, and then to the index or the pointer finger, we've got memorizing. And so what that looks like is actually as you're reading the Bible, a verse stands out to you, you begin writing it and journaling it, you're studying on that, and then you actually begin to memorize that, and you begin to actually throughout a day not just read it and then go out your day and someone asks you, hey, how was your devotion today? What did you read? And you're like, I had Vita Brits for breakfast, but not quite sure what I was reading. You begin to memorize it, and you begin to actually say it out loud. And so we've got hearing, and we've got, and your thumb is meditation. And I'm not talking about sitting with your legs crossed, singing, mana manani. Biblical perspective of meditation is thinking deeply upon the truth, which is the Word of God, our spiritual realities revealed by the Word of God. Listen to this. For the purpose of understanding, prayer, and application. It's not just about sitting to be mindful of your surroundings. It's about actually reflecting so you can be mindful of what Jesus Christ, God, what His Word is actually saying so that we can apply it to our life. And so, again, we're going to go through your hand. Pinky is, ring finger is, middle finger, index pointer finger, and your thumb. Meditation, which is reflecting and thinking deeply about what's revealed in the Word of God, spiritual truths, for the purpose of understanding, praying, and applying. And so for each and every one of us, we can actually take this five-step method in approaching the Word of God and begin today. Begin today. And like I said, we'll go deeper in One Life orientation. But right now, I want to invite the band up. In Joshua, it says that this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is within it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The true test of our faith isn't when everything's going well. It's when the rain comes, and the thunderstorms hit, and the wind blows. And the test of our faith and our foundation and what we've built upon in those moments begins to be revealed. And if it's not upon applying the Word of God, then I can tell you, friend, that you're going to begin to experience cracks and crumbles in what you thought was your foundation. Please don't be deceived into leaving today thinking that it's good enough just hearing the Word of God, because it's only by applying it that you have a firm foundation. And I just really saw for you and I the opportunity for this to become not just relevant but powerful in everyday life. And I just believe that as you and I choose to take the Word of God and apply it into our life, past moments where we join together corporately, because, you know, it can actually be really good and seemingly easy to be building our life upon what God says when we're in a room like this. But what about when Monday comes and we're in our workplace and our coworkers asking us to do something that we know is morally and ethically not right? Or what about when we're in our university classroom and everyone else is cheating off one another? Everyone else is actually choosing, whether it be in that classroom or that industry, to actually say something good about someone else, but then as they leave, begin to just slam them behind their back, thinking that it's actually cutthroat that allows us to get a step ahead in life, or just cheating because it doesn't really matter. It's just an exam. I'll do better when I actually get into a profession. Or maybe, what about for us when we're in a situation and we've been looking for a job or finance has been really limited, and we just say, you know what? If I just actually trim a little bit off the top, or if I just take this shortcut, it's gonna be okay. Okay, because in the long run, I'll be fine. I'll get back onto a path of being more with my finances and the way that I actually budget my time or my life. The question that we need to ask ourselves over and over again in every area of our life is not, what did Dr. Google say about it? Not what's their opinion about it, but what does God's Word say about it? And I believe that as you and I choose to live our life, not trying to just base our life off principles, but actually in relationship with the person, Jesus Christ, and we apply what it is that he's telling us to do and what his word says, you and I will be able to experience a greater peace when trauma comes, a greater joy when circumstances are saying that we should be depressed, a greater opportunity of life to be able to stand persevering, knowing that regardless of what's happening around us and what's happening to us, there's a person that's standing with us, and his name is Jesus Christ. Would you all stand? Would you just close your eyes for a moment? We're going to worship in just a moment. But before we do that, as you're focusing with your eyes closed in this moment, I want to ask you a rhetorical question. Not for you to respond out loud, but for you to answer in your own heart. If you were to answer this question and be honest with yourself, I just wondered today what our answer would be. What are you building your life upon? What is the foundation of the way that you live, you speak, you act? What's the determining factor on how you plan your week to week, your life, your decisions, your pursuits, your dreams? How do you actually budget your time, and how do you respond to people in circumstances that aren't too ideal? What is your identity found in? Where do you get your satisfaction, your contentment, your purpose in view of life? Is it determined and built upon what God says about you or what other people have said about you? God, I pray today that these moments would be all about your Father's heart for us, that we would be able to know that your plans for us are for good, Lord God. They're not for harm. God, it's for a pleasing and perfect will that you do things, Lord God, for us and that you tell us, Lord God, because you want us to be able to know that you and you alone are our solid foundation, Lord God, that things will come up, Lord God, but it's by applying your word that we are able to stand strong and stand confident, though we might be the only Christian in our school or our family or our workplace, Lord God, that we would know we are not alone, because every promise that you have made, Lord God, you will fulfill. You have never let us down on your promises. God, you declared, Jesus, you said that all those who trust in you, who believe in you, who pursue you, that you would be with us, Lord God, that your peace would be with us, that you would not leave us as orphans, Lord God, wondering where have you gone. But God, by your word, we can know each and every day that you are here with us, God, and that you have something for us. God, I pray that we would be a people who are not okay with going by any day having physical food but not being nourished by your word. God, I thank you that there are, Lord Jesus, there are people that are called and graced and gifted to teach in this room. God, to teach other people your word. And that might be at Life Group. It might be in their workplace. It might be in their home. But God, I thank you that today is a day where you are reawakening your heart, Lord God, in people's eyes. It's always been there. But God, I thank you that today is a day of revelation, that your word and your word alone applied in our life is the solid foundation. God, and I pray that we'd be a church who are confident that you are with us, that you are guiding us, and that you're leading us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as Jesus said in John 16, that because we are prioritizing a daily devotion, because we are not just hearing or reading or studying or memorizing or meditating, but actually applying your word, Lord God, that when circumstances come up, that you would guide us into all truth, that we would actually know that we carry the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you've called each and every person here to know you, not just by word, but in reality. God, that we are a biblically based and spirit-filled church. So God, today, each one of us commit to pursuing you and seeking you and then applying what you say to us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.